الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ربنا إني أسكنت من ذريتي بواد غير ذي زرع عند بيتك المحرم ربنا ليقيموا الصلاة فاجعل أفئدة من الناس تهوي إليهم وارزقهم من الثمرات لعلهم يشكرون وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ما نحل والد ولدا من نحل أفضل من أدب حسن أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم جزا الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. The foundation of every successful society is a productive and a functioning home. Serves the purpose that it's supposed to be serving. Giving direction and giving the correct upbringing to the future generation, then inshallah good people will be in society. And then that society will be a good society. But if the home is dysfunctional, not serving the purpose that it's supposed to be serving, not giving the direction to the next generation that's supposed to be given, then unfortunately those kind of people will come into society. And then we will find all the vices, all the wrong that is prevalent in society, we will find them prevalent. Obviously, we can't change the world, but we definitely can make some type of difference by changing the situation within our own homes. This topic is obviously a very vast topic, which can be explored from different directions and different angles. But I wish to take out 3 to 4 principles from the life of a very successful father. Not only was he a successful father, but his generations that came thereafter were full of blessings. Every Nabi that came after him came from his progeny. And every kitab that was revealed thereafter was revealed among his progeny. And that is none other than Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. This home and this family unit was such an ideal home, such a functioning home, that every day, in every salah of ours, we make mention of this family. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad, kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim. Speaking about the family of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, the entire incident of Hajj and Qurbani again is a remembrance of the sacrifice and the greatness of this family. So this was a very noble family and a noble household. And we can glean many important lessons from this family unit, from this household, which inshallah if we have to apply simple practical steps, that if we have to make these small changes in our life, inshallah, it can make big changes in the world. So the first important principle in anything that we do, and also specifically when it comes to our homes and our family, is that we need to have the correct mindset and the correct vision. Depending on the mindset that we have, that is the behavior. The behavior follows the mindset. So just to take a simple example, if we have a person that's opened a small shop and his vision and his dream is one day I must become a multinational company, then inshallah, if things are favorable, if it is the taqdeer of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, based on his vision, that company will grow. And on the other hand, if you have a person that's opened his small business and he says, I don't want any extra stress and tension in my life, I'm happy with the small shop, it seemed to my needs, then that shop will remain there. We're not going into the discussion of what should be the vision, but just to explain what a vision does in terms of chalking out the future. So similarly, as heads of the home, or we're supposed to be the heads. Anyways, the head of the home, the father of the home, our vision will thereafter give direction to the entire family. Now what is the correct vision? That we will learn from Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. The incision of Qurbani and Hajj, I don't wish to go into the details of the incident. But just to take lesson from these important incidents. When he left his wife and child Mukarramah. And this dua expresses the vision that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam had. He's leaving his family in this barren land. No means of survival whatsoever, security. But his vision as a father was, all I'm leaving them here, liyuqimu salah. So that they must establish salah. The primary objective in the life of my family must be deen. That must be the primary goal. There's no means of survival whatsoever. But he is chalking out the future of his family. That the main thing in their life must be deen. Everything else will be secondary. He made dua that Allah must take care of their material. And that's the comprehensive nature of a Nabi. He will not neglect any dimension. So he made dua for that. Oh Allah, you take care of their sustenance. But their primary concern and objective in life must be deen. Now this is so important. Such an important thing. We're not saying we don't take care or we don't address the material needs. Material needs will be taken care of to the extent of the need of material needs. Not that that becomes the primary concern in the life. When that becomes the primary concern, then every type of sacrifice is made to deen. Deen will be compromised. Why? Because material is the main objective. So whatever it takes to get that material, whatever it takes for my child to progress materially, because my dream is my child must become this person, my child must become this professional, or this level of a businessman, whatever it may be. And then we instill this in the child from small. From a young age, our behavior, if not verbally, our behavior is expressing that. That the main thing in your life must be dunya. The main objective, your be all and in and all must be dunya. Then that child grows up in that, with that mentality. Later on in life, that child was groomed in that way. So then Allah forbid, that child sometimes may even sacrifice the iman because of some material gain. Where it started off from? From the vision of the parent. So if the parent instilled this in the child, just to give a simple example, instill in that young daughter, that the main objective in your life must be that you must become a professional woman, this must be your degree, this is how you must progress in life, and your deen can be compromised. Allah forbid, the day when that girl now is interested in a non-Muslim boy. But she grew up with this, that deen is secondary, dunya is more important. From a dunya perspective, everything is very lucrative. This proposal is the best proposal according to her. Minus deen. But she was taught from a young age that deen is not important, Allah forbid. Now that girl makes the choice, never mind my deen, na'udhu billah, I'm prepared to marry this boy. Now the father is running frantic. Going to this muana, going to that amil, I need some taweez. But where it started off from? It started off from the vision of that parent. That the vision was wrong. The vision was dunya is the main goal. Again I am saying that we are not saying neglect dunya. We will take care of dunya. But dunya has a position and deen has the position. Let us not mix up the two. Deen comes first, dunya comes second. Whenever there's a clash, فَآثِرُوا مَا يَبْقَى عَلَى مَا يَفْنَى. Preference has to be given to dunya and akhirat, to deen and akhirat, and dunya has to be compromised, not the other way around. So this is the first important principle of an ideal home, of a functioning home, when it comes to an Islamically functioning home, that the concern has to be deen, dunya is secondary. Respected friends, if we grow our children up in this way, and we have this mindset that dunya is first, Allah forbid, the day will come when we will suffer the brunt of it. When we grow old, and those children understand that the only important thing in our life is what is dunya. This parent of mine is no more an asset, this parent is a liability. So, throw this parent in an old age home. Or neglect this parent. So many parents you will find, they have everything in terms of dunya, but they say, you know what, we don't have our children. Why? Because the children were brought up in that way, with that frame of mind, that the main objective in your life is dunya. You can make any compromise, even compromise your parents for the sake of dunya. So this is the first principle, that having the right vision, the right mindset. And thereafter, that will govern our behavior, our conduct. How we bring up our children, all will be governed depending on our vision and our mindset. The second important principle that we learn from the life of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, just as the father plays a very important role in the family, the mother plays an equally important role, if not an even more important role. Because the children generally, in an ideal Islamic home, generally spend more time with the mother. It's the mother that's bringing them up. Life, both have to be on the same page. And this again we will learn so clearly from the life of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. When he leaves his wife, an infant child in that barren land, that woman outwardly she's seeing death staring her in the face. But at that time, when she hears that it is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then her immediate response, the incident we know, her immediate response was that if this is the command of Allah, Allah will take care of us. That was the effort that was made on the home. The effort that was made on the wife. That the wife was sharing the same type of vision as the husband. She was on the same page as the husband. And thereafter she was the one who brought up that child to that level. When that child was told that I have seen a dream that I need to sacrifice you for the sake of Allah, that child said that if Alma Tu'mar, do as you please, as you have been commanded. Who instilled that in the child? Definitely. He benefited greatly from being the son of a Nabi. But also the mother played a very important role in giving the child that kind of mindset. So husband and wife both need to be on the same page. And therefore the importance of us making an effort, first of all, those that are not married, I'm not saying this to those that are married, those that are not married, make the right choice. Sometimes it may happen that I'm pining, I want to get married to this girl. I can't see anyone else in the world. But my parents understand that this girl is not good for my future. I'm only looking at it from one angle. They are looking at it holistically. It's better for us. Better for us to give away our thinking and our reasoning. Provided they're not being unrealistic. And they're looking for our betterment and future. And give preference to their thinking. Because later on when we have a problem in life, then we'll have no one to turn to. We can't go back to our parents. We told you don't do it and you still went against us. So, the importance of making the right choice because of lust. Will this person that I am choosing be a suitable mother for my children? That is what we need to look at. Sometimes it may happen the person becomes a Muslim out of convenience. We're not saying every person becomes a Muslim out of convenience. But it happens many a times. Just out of convenience, just because of the marriage, the person is prepared to outwardly become a Muslim. And later on when things turn sour, Allah forbid, there's people that are crying that my own children are going to church on Sundays. Where it went wrong? When the wrong choice was made. But nevertheless, if the choice is already made, then the effort that needs to be made on the family, on bringing the family on deen, ta'aleem in the home, etc. So that husband and wife both are thinking the same. Otherwise the child will play one parent against the other. So the father is not giving in, I'll go to the mother and I'll get what I want from the mother. Or vice versa. Therefore, husband and wife sharing the same mindset and same vision. Then, the third situation is out, now comes to the issue of the child. Many a times, I'm not saying that children are innocent. Allah guide our youth, Allah guide our children. It's a very, very challenging time. But many a times we are very quick to push the blame onto them, not realizing that we were to be blamed also. We made certain wrong decisions. When that child pestered us for that phone, we gave in. Unsupervised, we gave the phone. The child has free data, the child can do what the child wants to. Later on, when things go out of proportion, now we blame the child. Definitely the child is to be blamed. But we are equally to be blamed that we were the one who gave that instrument that thereafter resulted in this. So, then the third aspect is for us to have that kind of relationship with our children. To engage with our children. To understand what's going on in that child's life. Unfortunately today, The home many a times is a place where different individuals are living their own life. People are just sharing the same roof. But we don't know what's going on in the next person's life. We don't know what's going on in our spouse's life. We don't know what's going on in our children's life. What they're going through, what pressure is being put on them. We don't understand anything. We're not connecting with our children. And that thereafter becomes a major problem later on. So we need to connect with our children. We need to engage with them. We need in a loving way, in a good way, understand what's going on in their life. We must be the first port of call. If my child has a problem, my child doesn't know what to do, my child is not running to Facebook or Instagram or some other social media platforms to look for solutions. My child is not running to his friend. My child is coming to me as a parent. And I will give that direction to my children. If I can't give the direction, I will get the correct direction from the ulama and from experienced child. Then inshallah that child will grow up in the right way. And we learn this again from Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, how he engaged with his son. The incident again is famous when he was given the command to sacrifice his son. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was Khalilullah. There was no possibility of him not fulfilling this command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was definitely going to do it. He is definitely going to fulfill the command of Allah. But what does son come here, I'm going to slaughter you. No. What did he say to him? Maybe we grew up in that kind of setting. But it worked that time, it doesn't work now. Most of the time it won't work today. That kind of relationship between father and child, where the father just dishes out instructions, or the father just shows big eyes and the child is prepared to accept, unfortunately, most of the time, it doesn't work. So we have to engage with them. We have to show them love. What does Ibrahim alayhi salam say to his son? He says, Ya bunayya, inni ara fil manam, anni azbahuk, fanzur maza tara. Oh my son, this is the dream I have seen. What do you feel about it? What do you feel about it? Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib rahmatullah alayhi in Maarif al-Quran explains that Ibrahim alayhi salam was definitely going to fulfill the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But he wanted to see the state of readiness of his son. Is my child also ready to fulfill this command of Allah? It should not be that my child is only performing salah when I'm around. Or when I'm instructing the child. And when I'm not there, the child is not performing salah. Yes, we need to instruct the child to perform salah. But we need to create the importance of salah in the child. And the greatness and virtues of salah in the child, that it comes natural from that child. Whether we there or not, the child is performing salah. And how will that happen? When we engage with our children. When we spend time with our children. Quality time needs to be spent with the children. Not just now, in front of the TV, now we say we're sitting together as a family and watching TV. This is quality time we're spending. Or we're going out for a meal once a week and we're spending quality time. No, daily quality time needs to be spent with the children. Doing ta'aleem in the home, making dhikr, reciting the Quran and Majid, speaking to our children, what's going on, what you learnt in school, what happened, what is going on in the child's life. If we notice anything wrong, we can correct it immediately. My one friend, an alim, he explained to me this incident. He says that he's from some area in KZN, and he went to study hifz in another town. So he was just showing the tarbiyat at that time. So he says that I was doing hifz and part-time hifz, and I was going to the school in that area also. He says, one day I phoned my father from a call box. And I say, I want to leave the school, I want to come back home. Why? Why you want to come back home? Because they want to take a class photo. That's why I want to come back home, I want to leave the school. Now imagine what tarbiyat that parent made. That child, who was so few hundred kilometers away from the father, just because of this one thing, the father wouldn't have known about it. He phones the father to say, I want to leave and come back home because of this. A young child. The father says, don't worry, I will get someone in the area to speak to the school and make some arrangements for you to be excluded. But the point is, when that tarbiyat is made, the importance of these things are put into the child. And deep down in the heart of the child, the importance of deen, importance of salah, importance of staying away from wrong. When we as parents engage with our children in a loving manner, and we give them this kind of tarbiyat, then whether we there or not, that child is ready to fulfill the command of Allah. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam says to his son, that tell me what you feel about it. Why? To see the state of readiness in his child. Is my child ready or not? if my child is not ready, I will make effort on that child. I will speak to him. I will make his mind up so that from within will this command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and give his life for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's many other aspects that we can discuss regarding engaging with our children. Then also together with this, we engage with our children in activities, permissible activities within the limits of Sharia, we engage with our children. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam engaged with his son in building the Kaaba, building the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Together, father and son, building the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the greatest, that we engage with our children in dini activities. We're going out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we're taking our children together. We're coming to the masjid, father and son walking to the masjid together. We're going for a program of deen together with our children. So we engage with our children in dini activities and permissible activities. And another very important principle, we will conclude on this, in the life of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is continuous ardent dua for the direction and hidayat of our children. Ibrahim alayhi salatu, so many du'as of his are contained in the Quran Majeed. So many du'as. Not only did he make du'a for his children, like for example, رَبِّ جَعَلْنِي مُقِيمَ الصَّلَاةِ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي رَبَّنَا وَتَقَبَّلْ du'a. The du'a we mentioned, رَبَّنَا إِنِّي أَسْكَنْتُ مِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي بِوَادٍ غَيْرِ ذِي زَرْعٍ إِنْدَ بَيْتِكَ الْمُحَرَّمِ وَاجْنُبْنِي وَبَنِيَّ أَنْ نَعْبُدَ الْأَصْنَامِ. Various du'as of Ibrahim alayhi salatu. Not only for his children, he made du'a for his progenies to come. And he made such a dua for the guidance and direction of his progeny. رَبَّنَا وَبَعَثْ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ. Oh Allah, send a Nabi who will give them direction and will give them guidance. And that culminated in the coming of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the progeny of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. So these four important principles, practical, simple steps, that inshallah we can make these small changes in our homes and then we will find a world of difference. The first is, as the father of the home, we need to have the right mindset and the right vision. That deen comes first, dunya is secondary. And in any decision that we need to make accordingly, that deen comes first, dunya is secondary. Inshallah, if we impress this on our children, then that child will grow up understanding his priority in life. The second is that father and mother both need to be on the same page. Thinking in the same way, having the same concern, having the same vision. And we learn this from Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam's life. The third is engaging with our children and understanding what's going on in their lives and giving them the right direction. And then we engage in permissible activities, firstly dini activities and other permissible activities with our children, and then making dua for our children. Daily we take out time. If we can do it after every salah as well, after every salah, because the challenges are so great, so great. We won't even understand what they're going through. We won't understand what challenges they are facing. So we make dua daily for our children. If you can make it many times a day, we make that dua. Just to conclude, as we are all aware, the floods that have taken place in Pakistan, etc., as Maulana Jiwa Sahab mentioned a few days ago, that we had a small version of the floods. And we understand, we can relate to what difficulty we went through in those few days, what losses, etc. Imagine when this floods has happened at such a magnitude, and it's so much more than what we have ever experienced. So definitely our brothers are going through a lot of difficulties at this time. Whatever we can contribute in whichever way, firstly we make dua for them. That's the easiest thing that we can do, and the most powerful thing that we can do. Make dua for them, and then we contribute generously. Alhamdulillah, there's boxes that are provided. We try and whatever we can give now or later on, whichever organization we want to give to. But the main thing is we try and assist them, and inshallah through this we will remove many difficulties and musibats that could have come to us as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for everyone who's going through any type of difficulty. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us to give the right direction to the future generation. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa maulana Muhammadi wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.